Welcome to Inside the Mortgage Mind, a Zenix podcast where you'll hear stories from professionals throughout the industry, from new LOs to CEOs, about their journey to achieving success. We hope these stories inspire and energize you to take your business to the next level.
John, what a pleasure it is. Casey Cunningham here from Zenix. And when I saw your name, I was like, gosh, I think I know this gentleman that we go way back, maybe. How long has it been since we had our first conversation?
Well, gosh, probably when you start. When did you start?
Zenix started in 2002, the palindrome, right? Backwards and forwards. It's the same as Zenix is backwards and forwards, but 2002. So it's been going on 19 years in January. Can you believe that?
So we probably first talked back then, which shows my age, meaning I've just been doing this for a long time.
Shows my age, right? Yeah, I started when I was 20. Right, that's what I'm going to go with.
Same here. Oh, I love it.
How long have you had your new company now?
Well, so I started this. So when I sold Ameritrust years ago, I did some consulting with some other large mortgage companies. I built a great big baseball academy also that we grew that nationwide. I wrote a book called Corporate Cure. And I moved out to the beach. We had a house at Wilmington, outside of Wilmington on a beach that we really never went to. My kids were playing baseball, traveling all summer long. I'd be gone. And I looked at my wife and I said, hey, let's go retire at the beach. And we spent about a year that we thought was retiring. And I realized that I suck at retirement. And I haven't read anyone in the Bible that actually retired. So I thought that this is why am I doing that? And I saw a need for really an improved culture in our industry, and really created an opportunity for improved technology as well. So I started a business plan about two and a half years ago about putting C-Trust together. And I had one of my attorneys start doing all the legal paperwork, and he stopped me. He said, hey, there's this bank in South Carolina that wants to partner with you and either buy your business plan or merge it together, and they want to fund it. And I said, well, I haven't worked for anybody really in 30 some years. I said, I really want to operate this like an independent mortgage banker. But this bank if we're a subsidiary, this bank thing sounds pretty intriguing because we could take advantage of the bank charter, the lower cost of funds, all that good stuff. So we really put our brains together and talked about culture and how we can mesh this together and operate independently, but be behind a big, bank. And so anyway, it was about 2 years ago, we opened, the formation of C-Trust, and we spent about a good year just improving the technology, going through. I brought good teammates on board. My old COO from Ameritrust brought her on board. She was at Goldman Sachs for a few years after Ameritrust. And so really felt like I brought my team, the best of the best, on board. And we spent a lot of time being intentional about our flow. Before we even opened up the door, we did our first loan on our technology and improving it and getting it better and getting a lot of input. So that's a long story to say we actually opened the doors back in March of this year.
What? Oh, what a time to open the doors. What an exciting
time. So I don't know if it was an exciting time. It was. And then all of a sudden we opened the doors, we signed a lease, and then we said, okay, everybody go back home. But it really, think about when I talk about culture, because that's so important to me. I feel like I was the first one to really founded this word in our mortgage industry back in 1998 when we went through our first global credit crisis. But it really, think about being the intentionality on what teammates you bring on board to put them on into a team where we're just getting to know each other and then telling them they've got to work remote, work from home. That was a true challenge to if we really defined our core values and if we really put the right teammates together and on the right, sure, the right seat of the bus, all that good stuff, et cetera. But, because these, companies that work together for years and years and years. They know how to read somebody's email because they've worked with them. When you're brand new and all of a sudden your communication is really through to begin with emails, then it's a real true test on how you can interact. And we were intentional with that. And we were intentional with the video and the Zoom meetings as well. So he could see the whites in people's eyes and really try to gauge their heartbeat, at least from one computer screen to the next. So it's been challenging, but it's been amazing too. It's a great time. And I'm doing this because I like to, and I'm having fun. We're creating, we're creating commerce in different markets and we're creating jobs and changing lifestyles. So it's really neat.
You know, we exist, John, to impact people's lives, right? And hopefully we're a beacon in the industry where people look at us as the light and say, okay, that's where you can go and get empowered and energized. When I think about you opening in March, thinking about what was going on in March, what's going on today, what's been your, and you're big about culture, right? And that's something that's centered.
Yeah.
You helped originate your culture in the mortgage space. What have you learned going from the March to today in building culture? Have you changed anything or learned something that helped you to make sure you're embedding culture into your company?
Yeah, so we have to be intentional about each leader within the organization to make sure that they are connected with us, with the upper executive leadership team, but then also connected with their team. Now that we're remote and we're at home, to my point of saying, emails and communications on the phone, we have to be more intentional. So even from the onboarding stages of bringing somebody new on board, that we have not just myself who comes in and says, here's our culture, which I do that with every employee and every new hire. I spend time with them, and I've done that for 30 years in this business. It's just so important for me. But we have each department head do the same thing. And we have each supervisor, leader within the organization. And then we have checkups as well. We stress test our culture by making sure everyone is involved in the process. So we don't have one person training new hires, new hires are bringing them on board, but we have everyone in the within the process be involved with it. And then, back to how we've adopted new technology, which is like what we're talking about today. You and I getting to see each other, it's been years, but being able to see each other on the screen is helpful because I see how much younger you're getting and how much older I'm getting.
John, I love that.
So now now I know the secret that you're doing.
It's so hair color. That's what it's called.
And I gotta find hair and then color it. So but I think that it's just the intentionality of being connected and not getting caught with. It's easy when I had a big campus in Charlotte. We have 50,000 square feet and we had 400 employees. It was easy to be connected by just walking the halls. It's also easy to get caught into a trap of sitting behind your desk and doing your work and forgetting to interact and connecting with your teammates. So it's all being intentional.
So, it's interesting because it's very innate for you, right? Because you know how important it is. I'm going to guess it happens very naturally for you. I've had people ask me, how we won culture awards over the year. And I 100% agree with you. It's very intentional about how we welcome associates. We call them associates as opposed to employees. How we welcome associates into the company. How we treat them on a day-to-day basis. How often we communicate with them. We require the visual now, right? In the old days, people would be okay with a phone call. And I'm like, that's not good enough now because there's a connection that you get in the relationship. So what's your greatest priority that you're working on today, knowing culture is always going to be part of you? Is there something at a high level that you're working on?
Well, the high level to me every day is the, gauging the culture of the business. I really believe that's the president or the leader of the business. They should be spending 50, 60, 70% of their time on the culture and on the business. In terms of more technical and strategic is how can we continue to improve our technology? I remember, this is back in 1998. I would have And I'm real anal or very intentional about our process and improving it. Sales comes natural to me. But I remember back in 97, 98, new technology was coming out and we would have everyone in our conference room. And, you know, back then we had those conference tables that were half a mile long and we put paper out almost like a diagram of here's our flow. And it was like a flow chart on a big, so that was our visual. But it was all how we can improve it. How can we improve the customer's journey? How can we improve our loan officers' journey, our processors, our underwriters, our investors, who, but all the stakeholders involved. So taking that mindset, the same thing we do in terms of priority beyond culture is how can we improve our customer experience? And to me, a customer is, if I'm truly a servant leader and I'm at the bottom of the org chart, I serve everyone. It's at that point of who are we? Everybody to me is our customer. So that's every stakeholder in the chain. So how do we continue to improve it technology wise? We come back on a weekly basis and we have technology meetings of saying, okay, what is the feedback we're getting back from the team? Because we just onboarded somebody from ABC company who was doing things another way. And so we don't have a closed mindset of saying, well, yeah, well, this is the way we do things. We want to make sure, we want to look at best practices and say, well, does that make sense? Does it fit our culture? And then can we adopt that? And if it makes our job easier, then we're going to adopt it and we're going to act upon it. So I think technology and the flow and making the customer journey better every day is another true big component for us. And then really being intentional about finding the right people. We are over the years, you get caught up with, I gotta be the biggest, the fastest growing, all that other good stuff. What's really neat at my level right now is I don't have to bang my chest and say we're the fastest growing or the largest mortgage bank. We've been there, done that. We won the Inc. 500 a couple of years. We've been all at that. Now our focus in our, we're going to hire one good teammate at a time and open one good market at a time. And, you know, we've passed on a couple markets. We've passed on a couple, you know, high producing teammates, operational or sales, to make sure that we find the right person that's going to fit within our organization.
How do you define what's the right fit for your organization? What's important?
Well, so
interview process.
Well, we've got to have the same shared values. So we break down the word, again, I feel like I got a PhD in this word culture back in 1998. And you only learn that when you're about to go out of business. And that's what happened to us back in 98 with the first global credit crisis. I mean, you really get a stress test of your culture. You can put it on the wall and you can talk about it, but until you've been really challenged with it, you don't really understand what the commitment it takes with that. So we define culture as simply shared values, and we identify what those shared values are and how to articulate it, how to define it, how to apply it to our business every day. So my goal is when you have a new employee that you can talk to after 90 days with the company, they can identify what those shared values are. They can identify how they apply it to their business. And that becomes our success of, you know, how do we really be intentional of bringing on the right people.
What are your shared values, John, that you articulate with your new hires?
So we use the acronym CHIP. The one is customer obsession. So, you know, we use the obsession. You can say, oh, that's another word, great word for service. But if you really look at the definition of that, it's a compulsive act or being over someone or something. Usually people take that in a negative connotation, but I'm obsessed over our customers, and I'm obsessed. And again, I just helped you define what I look at our customers are. So that's me. And we look at that on every, and what we do is make how we define customer obsession is make everyone feel important. So that's important to me. If you look at, and we define our core values, we could spend 2 hours on this. So when you go through that, they've got to match your personal values. Mm-hmm. So when I say make everyone feel important, that's from the guy or the gal who's bagging your groceries to the CEO of the largest company that you're going to be talking to. And everyone in between, it's make everyone feel important. Mm-hmm. On a business side, that includes a person that unfortunately we have to turn down sometimes by making them feel important. Instead of, you know, we'll call them in 2 weeks and tell them we're turned down. Let's call them today and let's explain it to them so they can move on. And if you really want to impress me, get a referral. So it's, we really define that. And that's, again, I say that from the bagging your groceries to the next CEO. You see, that's from the person who answers the phone to the top loan officers, make everyone feel important. Hmm. So we've got a whole list of I could go on for a long time on the core values. I don't know if you want me to do that, but that's just how we define it. We get deep into it.
So let's do this. So C was customer obsession. What is H? You don't have to describe the whole thing, but H?
High trust. Mm. I is integrity. Mm. We define the definition of integrity to be complete. Mm. So if you, that goes into application, that goes into how we sell to our investors. It's be complete in our work.
Ooh, I love it.
Yeah. And then we've got two P's, passion. Passion is that burn in the belly to potentially be the best at what you do. So, if we hire somebody answering the phones, we want them to have the passion to be the best person to answer the phone in the business. And the last one, our foundation of the core values, is personal growth. So that's where we really open up to are you willing to accept coaching, as well as are you willing to provide coaching to all of us, to myself? You know, we go through a personal coaching session or personal growth session once a month with employees that I'll, or teammates that I'll bring in and say, okay, I need some coaching. What feedback can you give me to help me become a better president? And then we reverse it around and say, what, you know, can you accept coaching, and what coaching can we provide to help them? So that goes beyond just business. That goes personal as well, because if I can help them, if their goals on a personal side are, you know, to buy a car, to lose weight, to run a marathon, to have children, and we understand that and we support that, well, heck, they could have a better personal life and personal growth, and it only helps them become a better teammate within the office. So, you know, when we do our playbook, and we developed this playbook back in 1999 when I was about to go out of business after the 1998 crash. So we set up a playbook, and the playbook really starts with what are your personal goals? Because I want every manager and leader to understand what our teammates' personal goals are before our business goals. Because if we can help them with their personal goals, we expect, you know, we bank on, and I've done this enough, we're putting all the chips on the table that we'll actually grow a good company, make profit.
Well, you know, it's the old adage, they don't care how much you know if they don't know how much you care. And if you show when you care for them, they'll care for the customers, and the customer will be centered and they'll feel it. Because I believe, you know, happy associates make happy clients, right? Bottom line.
Absolutely.
The more we pour into them, the more that we pour. So it's almost a selfish pouring, if you will. But if it's sincere, they know it. And they certainly know it. And who wants to work for any other company in America that, other than one that cares desperately for them, to help them grow? And as I tell every associate, I hope you're with me for a lifetime, but it might just be for a season or a reason. And if you can leave here as a better human being, then I have been an exceptional leader for you. I selfishly want you to be forever, which means I have to grow it to the point where you can have career growth and feel advancement and get rightly compensated. But I applaud you, John, because our industry, the mortgage industry specifically, needs great leaders. And we need to continue to lead through an example as the next generation that we're leading to eventually take over our roles. Certainly, we want them to lead in a fashion that loves people and that serves and values them. And so I think we're equally yoked. Our core values are real similar. By the way, one of my favorite words is, you said obsessed. I use fanatic. I am a fanatic about customer service. It's like not just what you say, but how fast you get to them, how you serve them. And so thank you for this time together. I mean, will you promise me a second interview? Because I'd like to go deeper into your core values when you have a moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. There's so much we could chat about what's going on in our world and what's going on in the individual lives of our people. But, you know, we have a prayer board, by the way. I don't know if you do, but so I open up each morning of our company meeting where we have a shared prayer board on Teams. And they uh-huh. go in if they would like for, and I have a very strong faith, and I'm like, and a great deal of a number of our associates do. And so we are very intentional about letting them know that we love them enough. And as they go through life, sometimes just being able to express the people you spend the most time with, which is, you know, your fellow associates at Zenix, that we're praying for. So we open every meeting with anybody need to share something that you're going through. And you want all of us to help in praying and put it on the prayer board. So anyway, that's just a small thing we do.
That is outstanding. I love it. The same thing. We've got such a strong faith. And as I opened it up earlier about culture, I don't recall reading anybody in the Bible that actually retired. So I think it's what we were brought to do. If we can help others, one of the other big reasons for opening up Seed Trust is when I can create jobs, when I can create an environment that somebody is can't wait to come to work and is happy and feels good about themselves. And then they can take that to their home life and they can take it to their community and to their church and spread that cheer and just positive currency to our community is just that just alone is just an great, amazing contribution to our faith and to our beliefs. And then beyond that is, I really believe it's, you know, unfortunately what we're going through right now with employee, with teammates and in the industry or just the environment, people losing their jobs. It breaks my heart every day. My son graduated from college early, got his dream job, was ready to be engaged, you know, give his girlfriend the ring and who loves dearly, and he gets laid off.
Oh, no.
And it's tough. So you're talking about 22, 23-year-old kid, the world in front of him, everything was going perfect. And it's always, I always relate everything to my kids because I've got to see what's going, the lens that they're looking out of, because our customers have different lenses as well. And knowing that faith has really brought him through these times is just another example and a reminder of how important that is. Because, I mean, people who are getting laid off, they're going into drugs, they're going into depression, they're going through all this other stuff. And to know that I've got a son that's out there working out and trying to find a job and doing things that he's committed to just gives, knowing that, you know, he's got a really strong faith and that's important to all of us. And we want to be able to share that to everybody we encounter.
Well, you know, since we teach sales and leadership, right, that's a training organization. My challenge to every leader is, are you pouring into your people to when they go home, they can pour into their kids? Because the reality is, as leaders, we sort of set the tone for whether someone has a quality and an amazing day or one that's distracting and disturbing and they come home and they're not happy. And I don't know. I mean, a lot of people move into leadership. We all have at one point in our life, maybe not realizing the significance of that role and how you have the responsibility to build people up and not beat them up. And the more you build them up, the better they will be as human beings, the more appreciative, et cetera. But, you know, in God's glory, it wasn't about beating people up, but building them up. So I applaud you for your mentality and you as a leader. And it's great spending a few minutes with you. So
thank you so much, Casey.
What's the future for Seed Trust? You didn't want to be the biggest or the fastest. So 2 years from now,
we'll get there at some point. So the future is, I guess, repeat this enough is, you know, when people are asking me, what's your 3-year, what's your 5-year budget?
Right.
I don't even go that far. That's kind of like, what profit are you going to make today? Well, how about I tell you what I'm going to do today. I'm going to invest in my people, and I'm going to make sure everyone feels important. And we'll see how that happens, you know, how that affects the profitability. I have a pretty good feeling and a track record that'll be pretty good. So what the future is for me is to, we're going to hire one good teammate at a time and open up one good market at a time. And if we can stay on track of that and not really sway, if that's our core value and that's our shared belief, if we can stay true to that, then we don't have to chase potential future issues. And, you know, if a strong team in an area of the country that doesn't make sense to us, if we don't, you know, if we're true to our one market, one teammate at a time, that'll be there when we, you know, when we get to that point. But right now we don't, you know, we're not here to try to grow today nationwide and put a person in every market. That's not what we're all about.
Okay. I'll be watching you closely and cheering you
on. All right.
Of course, you know, we're here for you, but what a privilege.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the time today.
Well, I appreciate all your support and what you do and the help you've provided not only myself, but a lot of my teammates over the years. So congratulations on what you do. And I thank you for being a leader in our industry as well.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
You too, Casey. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to check back for new episodes of Inside the Mortgage Mind, a podcast by Zenix, the Mortgage Academy. You can download our episodes wherever you love to listen to podcasts or on our website at zenix.com/inside the mortgage mind.